Shot still going strongly in the closing minutes. Great run by Kevin McAllister! What a goal that is!
Delivery's good, there's Hagen. Now McGrath, he scored!
It's Stokes on a hat-trick! Goal number three for Anthony Stokes.
Alston saw off Robertson and delivered! Siddle scores! That's the goal! That's the moment! Samuel off and running again. Is it going to be the hat-trick? You know it is.
This is Falkirk Daft.
It's Falkirk Daft. It is your unofficial podcast dedicated everything to do with the Falkirk Bairns. I feel like every time we play Montrose, we should invite Dick and Dom up for a game of bogeys, because they are certainly our bogey team. Have Dick and Dom on this sideline shouting out, "Bogey!" We'll get into the game and look ahead to our games against Alloa and Kelty a bit later on, but it wouldn't be Falkirk Daft without the Ginger God of Pod himself. It's Mr. Ross Wayne.
Good evening, sir. How are we today?
I'm all right, Ross. I'm all right. I'm meant to be on Ireland as we speak, but we, you know, summer holiday, October break, went away with the wife, and then we had to come back early because of the adverse weather conditions. But luckily we did that, because all the ferries from Ireland have been cancelled. So I missed the Montrose game as a result of that. I did suggest, I said, Montrose is lovely this time of the year. But no, she wanted to go to Ireland.
She wasn't having it, was she?
No. She kind of goes, "Why do you want to go to Montrose?" "Oh, no reason.
Beautiful beaches.
Yeah, the Angus coast is lovely." She saw through me, so we ended up in Ireland. So I missed the game. You caught it up with it. I've got our guest pundit, Bryce, who's at the game as well. So we'll get into that bit later on, but let's get into some of the correspondence we had in regards to the show last week. First of all, we put up last week, we called last week the Combo Derby, Ross, because it was Peter Falk, obviously. The game was murder. Was it actually all right, because we won 4-0. But a couple of suggestions. Martin's thrown this up, and I think it looks like I can't work out who the HAR is a team. Harrington?
Well, wait a minute. The other team's obviously, I'm assuming it's Doncaster.
Harrogate versus Doncaster, and Sky have got that on as Ross.
Hard on.
Yeah, so that's another good derby, the Hard On Derby. Listen, if you spot any of these, please keep them coming in. The one that was pointed out to me, however, Ross, was a French game which goes on now and again in the French leagues. Nice versus Brest.
Nice.
You know, I don't know what you would call that kind of derby, but that's certainly a game in France. Nice Brest, which is in the French league. So if you spot any of these, please keep them coming. We'd really appreciate that. We've got a shout out to do, Ross.
We do indeed. So
it's turned into like GBX on a Saturday night. Let's do some shout outs. Come on, Roscoe.
Yeah, we have had a shout out. So we've had a message from Big Bairns fan Michael Ginetta. He's asked for a couple of shout outs, actually. So a shout out for two Glasgow Bairns involved in a wedding next Saturday down in Morpeth, which he reminds us was the home of ex-Bairn Carl Finnegan until last season. So the most important part of the shout out is a shout out for his big brother, Anthony Ginetta, and his wife to be Katrina McDonald. So huge congratulations to them on the day. The other shout-out is for Michael himself, who doesn't want to make an arse of his speech, hopefully celebrating a Bairns win at the same time.
Well, fingers crossed for that, Michael, and congratulations to the happy couple, another member of the Falkirk family, hopefully, as well. If you want shout-outs, let's keep them going. If you want shout-outs for anything in the podcast, we can do that for you. Got to put a shout-out as well to Rabon to the Clown, who's our regular correspondent on Falkirk Daft. He sent us a video, Ross, of Falkirk buses from 1992. I don't know why he's done this, but I have to say, I watched this video and I could not take my eyes away from it. So I think it's just only fair, if you're watching the video podcast version, that we show you a bit of it right now. Well, here we are, Ross. We're up the town. We're watching buses. The old cinema's still there, as you can see, the old Cannon Cinema there. Yeah. And there's a bus coming in. This is fascinating stuff.
Very fascinating. What was the reason for us being tagged in this video?
Just for banter, I think. He's just saying that this is great. And there's 98 going by. Number 90. Surfboard bus comes along in a wee bit as well. Along, you know, that was always a good bus. There's Denny, Denny Cross.
Is this an example of a far better coach than Martin Rennie?
Maybe that's what he's been sent us. But anyway, listen, if you want to check out this fascinating video, you'll get it on YouTube. Falkirk buses. Look at that. It's the Tamford Hill bus drawn up there.
One. There we go.
So, Falkirk buses, December 1992. You type that on YouTube. 5 minutes of Falkirk buses from 1992. Midland Bluebird buses up the town. It's fascinating stuff. For the life of me, I don't know what's on at the cinema. I'm trying to see what's on at the cinema by the frontage. But there you go, Ross. Fascinating stuff. Thanks to the Bonds of the Coin for that. Falkirk buses, 1992. If you have any other fascinating videos about Falkirk, please send them on to the podcast. We'd love to see them, especially if it involves buses. I don't know why I said that, but I love it. Anyway, Stuart's also been in touch. Stuart Ross, he's saying, not seen much of Falkirk. Now, this guy, Stuart Ross, is a football analyst, and he tweeted, not seen too much of Falkirk this season, but impressive numbers so far. McGuinn's style of play may be bringing out the best in him. This is in reference to Aidan Nesbitt. He's put up a whole stat graph of Aidan Nesbitt, which we posted out on our Falkirk Daft Twitter. If you don't follow us up there, and you'll be able to see this for yourself. But it's fascinating to see this, Ross. Dangerous passes are a combination of key passes and through passes. 0.68 per 90 for the key, 0.27 per 90 for through. And like, he's got a graphic up here, which is the percentile rank versus SPFL League One midfielders. And Aidan Nesbitt is really shining through on this graphic, Ross.
Do you know, it doesn't shock me. He's done really well. I know we have the odd moan, but what a far different player than we saw last season. Absolutely. So no, he deserves every bit of praise that's coming his way. Big shout out to a mate of ours, big Davey Muir, his lad, turned 18 and they went out for dinner on Saturday night, and they bumped into Aidan Nesbitt and Miller and Carter, funnily enough. So he must have had the steak on Saturday night, John.
Oh, he was having the steak. If he was there with Pal Morrison, I think you might have been having the chicken on Saturday night. We'll get into that a wee bit more. But yeah, if check out his graphic, it's Aidan Nesbitt's stats for the season. What's interesting is he 100% in the percentile, 100, like he's the top guy for touches in the box from a midfielder. It's Aidan Nesbitt, a midfielder. He's more of a forward, I would say. But
well, he plays as that sort of number 10, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So he should be in the box quite a bit. So it's great to see that he's actually got a bit more action this year. Because let's face it, last year he touched a lot of the ball, but then gave it away or misplaced pass. And he's far, far more clinical this year, which is great.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So yeah, check that graphic out as well. You'll see it on the YouTube version, or if you can't do that, head up our Twitter. You'll see this graphic on Aidan Nesbitt. Thanks very much to Stuart Ross, who thinks he's going to do one for McGuinness as well. So I'd love to see the stats of McGuinness, because we all know that he's an absolute Rolls Royce of a player. Another stat that's come up, it was flagged up to as well, actually on our Discord. If you want to join that, all the links are below. It's basically the Scottish long ball percentage of play, which has been flashed up. Now, this is quite remarkable that Falkirk are in the top five in terms of not playing long balls. We are fifth in Scotland with only 13%. The top long ball team in the leagues is actually Morton, and just behind them it's Montrose as well.
Doesn't shock me, to be honest. Morton, we've obviously seen them already this season. They didn't look great then.
Yeah.
Probably struggling a bit as well. Montrose, that's a bit of a... I don't know if... I wouldn't have said that in the norm, because they've been one of the better footballing teams against us the last few seasons. Saturday, I'm not sure if you would say it was football, but where's Dunfermline on this graphic? Because they must be hoofball.
Dunfermline are actually quite high up, surprisingly. They've got 16% in terms of their the percentage of play.
Well, that does definitely shock me, because they've been proper hoofball most weeks. So yeah, that does shock me, to be honest. But at least we're above them on that table. It won't be long till we're above them in the league table as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. So again, you can see that on our Twitter. So it's quite some interesting stats. I like a good stat and a good graphic, Ross. So you can see that all on our Twitter as well. Got to put a shout out to former Bairn Andy Rogers, who just this week announced his retirement. He put on his Twitter, "The day I wish would never come has eventually came. Today, the boots are hard for good. What a ride, and one I wouldn't change a single thing about. I've met some of the best people and friends I could ever wish for. I loved all my dreams, and all in all, I've done not too bad. And for once, I'm going to blow my own trumpet." And he then goes on to a whole bunch of stats. You know, the top stats there: debut winning goal for my boyhood heroes Falkirk, first division championship winner with Falkirk as well. I mean, look at the career Andy's had. I mean, you know, captain Dumbarton at 22. I mean, he's been an absolute, in the lower leagues, he's been an absolute standout. He puts a shout out to Alex Totten, Jim McAnally gets a shout out as well, because at Peterhead, he was a bit of a legend as well. I mean,
yeah, no, he did really well at Peterhead, didn't he? Yeah, no, listen, big Bairns fan. Bairns fam, big Bairns supporting family as well. He's had a fantastic lower league career, just as you mentioned. What a feeling that would have been for scoring a goal for your own team on your debut. That's just like Royal type stuff, isn't it? Do you know his name came up the other day? I can't remember where I saw it, but he must be one of the last players to have played for Falkirk at Brockville that was still kicking a ball.
Yeah. I don't think that's the last. He must be. I cannot think of anyone that's still kicking a ball that that played at Brockville. So yeah, he must be. He must be the dog. So it's an end of an era, really, there when you look at it that perspective as well.
Yeah, definitely. No, he's done fantastically well, and I'm sure that'll give him a bit more time to get along to the Bairns as well. And I know he's still a big Bairns fan, and he's obviously well involved social media and stuff, and yeah, hopefully he'll kind of come back into the fold now that he's been able to get a bit more time away from playing the game.
Yeah, shout out to Andy Rogers. Hopefully we can get him on this podcast, and maybe when he goes to a game, if he turns up at a Falkirk game, we can get him on to have a chat with him about that as well. So good on you, Andy. Sad to see you retire, but I'm sure you know, when you get to our age as it is now, Andy, you know, I'm sure it's hard to keep going on a Saturday and getting yourself motivated for it. Right, okay, a couple of bits of news from the club. This week we've put out the Ken McAllister stand that's available for naming rights. This was always going to be part of the deal when the stand was named around. It was still going to be the opportunity to sponsor the stand. You know, hopefully they can get, again, it's a way of getting investment into the club, Ross, isn't it?
Definitely. That would be tremendous, to be honest. So hopefully that gets taken up. I think there's sponsorship available in the North Stand as well, but if there's a few companies kicking about or people that have maybe got a bit of good money behind them, then yeah, get involved. Obviously the club's looking for as many fans and businesses to invest in the club as they can. So every little helps, as we keep saying every week. But that would be a tremendous, that'd be amazing to have your name up in lights beside Kevin McAllister. Definitely. Yeah,
absolutely. So hopefully we can find a sponsor for that. And obviously still looking for a sponsor. It's just try to get as much money in as we can, possibly can at the moment. The tickets have gone on sale, and talking about getting money in, tickets are already on sale for the Dunfermline and Dundee Cup match as well. Again, I guess that's just another way of trying to get money in quicker than we usually do.
The Dunfermline game's only a couple of weeks away, so yeah, it's probably not too much of a shock that one's on sale. I thought the Dundee tickets went on sale really, really early. I can't think that that's for financial reasons, because in the best way of the world, that's not going to be like a huge crowd on a Thursday night in December, I wouldn't have thought so.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I don't see why we can't have the tickets on sale for every game, to be honest, because like, what's going to change? Do you know what I mean? If someone knows they can go to a game in January because they're back home for visiting or something like that, put the tickets on sale. The ticket website's pretty good now. So, and I think you can buy hospitality for every game this season online. So yeah, maybe they should be putting every game on sale, but that game will sell it. I've no doubt about it. I know there was just under 7,000 at the game at East End Park. This one, I think Dunfermline will fill that that stand just like we did. We took what 2,500 through. They'll sell the 2,000 tickets. I reckon you'll have definitely 4,500 Bairns fans, maybe even 5,000 in there. So you're talking a real good crowd, definitely.
Yeah, and the other bit is the fixture with Queen of the South, which was originally meant to be played on Christmas Eve, has been moved to the Friday evening. So that kind of makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Because you know what, Christmas Eve is out, you're running about with the Wains, you know, you're doing bits and bobs with the family, you're getting ready. So to move that game completely makes sense.
Yeah, do you know, there's obviously a few people that are maybe not too happy with it. Probably
I'm not happy because Maguire, I'm maybe going to see the Barrowlands to see Maguire on the Friday night.
Well, yeah, so you're right. People have nights out and stuff as well. So there'll be people it doesn't suit. However, you're probably right from a family perspective. Those who otherwise might be engaged on a Christmas Eve are now got a reprieve to go to the game. I'm quite happy with it, to be honest, but I know it doesn't suit everybody.
I know. I guess when you think about the players as well, you know, players like, for example, I guess like Lawal and Burrell, you know, they want to be with their families. If they get the chance to get down south and see their families, and the players have got Wains, and you know, they've got that as well. So by the time you get the game done and dusty, done all your media commitments and all that, you know, you're 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock by the time you're up the road.
No, listen, that's a really good shout as well. The players, if the club have maybe been able to organise for the players to get a few days off on the bounce, then fair enough. Do you know what? We all want to be off at that time of year, and footballers probably aren't any different. They probably don't get too many options to be off that time of year. So there's no game in between Christmas and New Year this time. Once we finish playing Queen of the South on Friday the 24th, the next game's, what is it, 2nd of January against that lot across the 4th. So there's a bit of time there. So I'd imagine the players probably will get 3 or 4 days off in the bounce after that game, I think.
You think so? Cool. Well, let's get into the game at the weekend as we took on Montrose. And every week on Folk Daft, we get a guest pundit on. And this person is a bit of a legend. We'll explain why in a minute around the Falkirk area. But please welcome to Folk Daft, it's Bryce Dixon.
Hey, Jim. Bryce, how are you?
Good.
Yeah. Now, Bryce, we said in the intro there to you coming on that you're a bit of a legend for a reason around the Falkirk area. Isn't that not right?
I think for a reason, I didn't really intend it, to be honest. I've been pretty quiet for my 20 years as a Falkirk supporter, so I thought, let's just blow up here. So apparently.
So you were at the infamous, the question night and behind the goals, and I believe you were the one that went viral because you asked them. You made a statement and didn't ask a question, Bryce. Is that right?
To be honest, I think it was both. There was a statement and a question. So I don't know who was right and wrong there. But I did go along. So I went along with a workmate. And that's a kind of side story because I'm actually a PE teacher. So I'm going to pick you up on the Ryan Williamson. So that's a different matter. But I went along with a workmate, and usually I do go along with these things. I like to hear what people say, and often I just generally keep quiet, sit at the back, and then somebody at some point inevitably asks a question about, are we working on corners, do we practice shooting, and the usual rubbish that you get. So I thought, no, time's to ask a serious question here. But I didn't want to just, you know, come out with the obvious. These players are rubbish, you know, blah, 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 blah. Something that somebody could argue. So I thought, let's go down the stats route. And as it turns out, they were terrible, as we thought they would be. And my question, and I will say it's a question, my question went viral thanks to some random guy on Twitter.
you must have been going, what the hell? Because that obviously went, you know, that's a statement, not a question, went all over the UK, over Scotland.
Well, there was t-shirts made as well,
yeah,
wasn't
it? I was then starting to think I could get on this. There's something to be made out of this.
Could have made your money.
Totally. At the time, though, you know, when I think I was so nervous just asking my question. That I didn't really take in what Gary Deans had said to me. And it wasn't really until I got home and I said to my girlfriend, then my wife, I said, you'll never believe what he said. It was just really, really bizarre. And then all of a sudden it blows up and
viral.
I think German football teams tweeting that was a statement, not a question, and things like that.
There was loads of clubs that got on the bandwagon, wasn't there?
Extremely bizarre. But it's funny, you know, I can laugh at it. And you know what, I think that if I played a wee 1% in making something happen and something move, then I'll take that.
Listen, Bryce, I think you did, because see, it took that, and let's face it, it was an embarrassing thing, and let's not forget the club put this out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They voluntarily uploaded the full thing. Fair play to them for doing it, but they almost kind of dug their own hole in terms of how it went. But it needed said. So
No, totally. And I think the point I was ultimately trying to make was, you know, painting a picture of how bad it is. And I was never one of these people that believed, you know, the club hate the fans and whatever. But I think that night did change something. And I think the response I got, you know, really changed my opinion that there was some sort of kind of difference in opinion here between fans and the club. So I think something did happen off the back of it.
Yeah. Totally. Well, you know, it all changed for the good, thank goodness, anyway. Bryce, when did you get into the Bairns? What's your Bairns story, mate? I should start rephrasing that question. When did you get into the Bairns? How did you... did you get into Falkirk FC, Bryce?
There we go. I remember my dad taking me quite early on, you know, kind of cup semi-finals, 1987 cup final. But I think the first memory I have was a game against Dundee. But to be honest, I think my dad just took me because he wanted to see Claudio Caniggia.
Oh, yeah.
And then thereafter that, my uncle, I go to the football now regularly with my cousin and my uncle lives in Ayr. So he travels up every single week, God bless him, for some reason or other. And I think he just wanted somebody to go to the games with, so he started dragging me along. And then me, my uncle, my cousin, and the two of them are my best men at a wedding recently. So we kind of, for love nor money, go home and away every week, the three of us together. So that's where we are now.
Right, and your favourite player, you're not allowed to pick any of the Holy Trinity, but who's your favourite player?
I'm going to go an obvious and an obscure, because I did have a good think about this one. The obvious one in terms of the bracket that I remember Falkirk would have to be Russell Latapy, just purely for how good he was. And
you're not allowed, like Russell. It's just too obvious. You're not allowed, Russell. So go for it.
I'm going to go John Baird.
Baird, oh, good.
I'm going to be very, very obscure in terms of John Baird. I think he was extremely underrated in his time with us. His goals to appearance, his record, in a time where it was Hibs, Hearts, Rangers, etc. in the league with us. His work rate, his attitude, just everything that we've missed for probably the past 3, 4, 5 years. And I think Bob McHugh got the kind of plaudits for the goals he scored for us. But I think John Baird was unbelievable in his time with us.
I agree with you, Bryce. I think he was so... Well, I don't know if he was underrated at the time, but see, when you think back the last sort of 10 years, I think he would be in a lot of people's starting lineups for not just the goals he scored, but what a work rate he had, didn't he?
Yeah, totally. Just epitomised everything that we had at that time.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of a wee bit of quality and that work rate and energy and attitude just kind of was throughout the full team, and he really epitomised that.
Absolutely. Doing well as a coach down under now as well, of course. Yeah, that was who Lee Griffiths went and played with, wasn't it? It was under John Baird. There you go. Let's get into the game then. Boys up to Montrose there at the weekend. 1-1 it ended up. Craig McGuffey getting the goal for us. Unchanged Falkirk lineup went out. What did you make of it, Ross?
We spoke last week how I thought somebody should be dropped, probably McGuffey, which probably shows how little I actually know about football, because obviously the boy scored. I know he wasn't great on Saturday, like he wasn't, so, but he scored an absolute belter of a goal. But I would have made that change. I think Kennedy should have started. I thought he'd done really well when he came on again. I'd certainly have Kennedy starting on Tuesday night versus Alloa. But yeah, I thought that change would have happened. But I get why he stuck with a winning team. But I think it just shows you that by doing that, it doesn't always work depending on who you're playing. So I think he is going to have to mix it up sometimes.
What do you make of the performance itself, Bryce? I mean, you're a PE teacher, presumably a decent footballer as well, Bryce. What did you make of it?
I don't know if I could replace Ryan Williamson anyway, that's for sure. 30 years old and I'm the slowest man you'll find. To be honest, disappointed. I suppose the caveat I would have to put in there is that I think a lot of people say, you know, a place we would have been beaten before, a place that was struggled in the past. And I do understand that. It's kind of credit to John McGlynn that they were coming away disappointed from that. But the aspiration has to be to get top of the table and win the league. So I was really, really disappointed that, you know, we couldn't go there on a decent run of form and come away picking up 3 points. The first 5-10 minutes, we just never got going and then really struggled from there on. I think my biggest disappointment is we've not got something that can really change it in terms of, you know, Sean Dillon just won every single header at the back. And I think he maybe tried to change that slightly, but Callum Morrison going up top was never going to be the answer. So my ultimate feeling was disappointment. And then you come away and Dunfermline having won their game, you know, really kind of sinks the extra ball.
If that Dunfermline game had finished the draw, I don't think I would have felt as bad. That said, Montrose are hosting Dunfermline next Saturday. And if Montrose win or get a draw again, that probably changes our feelings a wee bit about the draw. But at the time, I agree with Bryce. I was a bit disappointed.
It was a really slow start. I mean, we've been so used to Falkirk coming out the trap so fast. It was such a slow start from Falkirk. Is there an away mentality against it? Because at home, we come out flying, but it doesn't seem to work that way. I'm saying that when I'm just sitting saying that. I'm thinking Dunfermline, we came flying out against them. But again, we went up to Montrose. It was a bit of a slow start, Ross.
It was. And I don't really... We could have been... Bryce will probably say the same. We could have been 2 or 3 goals down within the first sort of 20, 25 minutes.
I mean, there was a block from McAllister when he had that shot. It was a save from Hogarth there in the first kind of 5-10 minutes as well.
That McAllister shot was within the first 15 seconds, I think.
Yeah.
Yates, I've been a big fan of his. He didn't play well on Saturday. I know there's loads of people saying maybe he needs a wee rest and stuff. He is a young lad. I don't think he needs a rest from an energy perspective, but maybe
mental.
Yeah, maybe. It's obviously no ideal having Williamson out injured, to be honest, because he's who was signed to play that role. Yeats isn't a right back, so some of the criticism that he's getting is pretty unfair in my opinion. Because he is a midfielder, he's not a fullback. But yeah, no, we didn't start well at all. As you mentioned, Sean Dillon did what Sean Dillon has done to us the last couple of times we played Montrose. He just absolutely
bossed it.
He does. He bossed it. And he did exactly the same on Saturday, which is really, really frustrating. It just didn't work what we were trying to do.
Yeah. The goal came eventually. I mean, it was, like you say, it was coming in that first half. But again, poor from Burrell, a poor giveaway. And he actually, over the course of the game, didn't have a good game at all.
No, he didn't. I don't think Andy started well, to be honest. I think just as they scored, we were maybe creeping into the game slightly, try to hold on to the ball. But I think when you think of what we've done pretty well over the past few weeks is, you know, somehow Liam Henderson has the ball, you know, he's maybe just in his own half, he's looking for that long diagonal. But again, anytime that was tried to play, the quality wasn't there in the pass. If it was there, Sean Dillon, again, just swept it up. You're possibly looking for somebody like Nesbitt to get a wee bit higher to try and kind of win the second ball. But I felt like, I remember turning and seeing at one point, I felt like they had about 15 men on the pitch. You know, they were all over us. They were a wee more energetic than us. They were up in our faces and just giving us no time in the ball. And, oh, okay, yeah, we've made the error for the goal. But it was more than coming and more than deserved. As far as they were concerned.
I mean, I wasn't at the game, Ross, but did we try and get the ball in behind Sean Dillon and try and use Burrell's pace against them?
Do you know, as you've mentioned, Burrell didn't have a good game. I was kind of disappointed with how, like, I know John, I know we're going to play the post-match comments and stuff. I think he was disappointed in kind of how it went as well. It wasn't like Kelty, where there was just a bad attitude. I don't think that was what happened on Saturday. We have walked away with a point, so I think we should be a wee bit positive there. It just was a different attacking mentality. Bryce, would you agree it was just a different setup that we seemed to be trying to do on Saturday versus a lot of the other games we've played?
Yeah, no, totally. I think maybe, you know, your Falkirk Dafty last week was Allegria, and we feared that we might miss him, and that possibly was the case, that we just didn't have something to switch up how we were playing, and give Montrose something else to think about. But I suppose for me, that's also just the idea that, you know, there isn't that kind of third striker where there's a potential target man. You know, you think Dunfermline have got, like, Todorov, and, okay, yeah, they are hammer throwers where the ball goes long all the time, but maybe going away to Montrose, that sometimes that's needed. And if it's a difference between, you know, a point there and 3 points, then potentially that's a kind of avenue we should explore going forwards.
I agree with you, but nothing was sticking at all, and it probably was a game for Allegri. And again, it's just a bit silly how he ended up obviously not being available for the game. I think, going by the comments of John McGlynn, I think he might start on Tuesday night. I think he might.
Oh, really? That'll be interesting. The goal came from nowhere then, for us. Craig McGuffey, obviously, Ross was crying out for him to be dropped. And he absolutely, McGuffey does it every now and again. He'll have an absolute wonder striker going. It was an absolute top drawer finish from him. But again, just seemed to come out of nowhere, and came at a brilliant time for us as well, Ross.
It did. No, we needed it. I think it would have been tough going in at half time, a goal down. It would have been interesting what I would have done mentally, but we didn't. We got the goal, cracking finish. He has got it in his locker because we've seen it before. I don't think you could say he was a world beater the rest of the game. I don't think you could say that. If I'm being honest, I would still drop him for this week. I would still, but even though he scored, I would have either Kennedy or Llewellyn for him.
Yeah. You agree, Bryce?
Yeah, a great finish and a great goal. And we see that for Craig McGuffey. I remember something, not too dissimilar, I think it was at Clyde away the previous season. He kind of curled it in top corner. So he's got it in his locker. But as you guys have said before, it feels like it's one in every 8-9 games with guys like Craig McGuffey at the minute. And in a game like that, whereby you're playing poorly, I think that champions just kind of find something for somewhere or somebody. And I just think maybe that's just what these guys are lacking, just to pop up with that little bit of magic, whereby the goal gave us that, but to go on and do something else in the game was just lacking. So for me, I would like to see a couple of changes just to let people know ultimately that if performances are lacking, then there's people on the bench that will come in and take your place. Yeah.
Well, that's it. Just John's talked about having such a good quality big squad. Well, now he's proven that he'll stick by a winning team. And again, we didn't get beat on Saturday, but it wasn't a great performance. I agree with you. I think he does need to mix it up a little bit this week.
Yeah, you're hoping, like, when you get that goal before half time, that you kick off in the second half and you kind of, you know, you were hoping to see more of that Falkirk that you've seen previously. But we were okay, it seemed. I mean, you guys will be able to tell me otherwise. We were okay in that second half, maybe up to the last 10 or so minutes. But just, as I think in John says, and we'll hear in a minute, it was just a bit huffing and puffing.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I remember saying, you know, when we came back out for the second half, I thought, right, we can't be as bad as we were there and we're level. So if we're better than them this half, we'll score. We were better. It was a bit huffing and puffing without doing too much. And at Nokia, you could come away from it saying, like, the penalty, or, you know, Callum Morrison and Kai Kennedy, when they were through, we could have won the game. But by the same token, they could have been out of sight after the first 25. So a point was probably fair. I think, like Ross says, a point's been not terrible, and John McGlynn probably knows that it's not the worst point in the world. I think it's just, having been where we'd been coming from, and like Ross said, I think we were better since we started the season against them, and it was 0-0 that I thought we kind of hoped we would see, you know, a slight difference between us and Montrose, but that there wasn't really.
No, that and you know, Bryce, you've just said something there as well. See, in terms of how Montrose were, so we were probably the better team in the second half. They were probably the better team overall in the first half, but we had chances in that second half to win it, and we probably in the end we probably were aggrieved that we didn't get 3 points because the Morrison shot come cross, whatever he was trying to do. That was a I think that was the game changing moment. I know everybody's talking about Efno giving the pen. You've seen them given, you've seen them not given. But
yeah, I was going to say that. You're kind of on the side that probably wasn't a pen then, Ross.
I've seen them given. Do you know what I mean? We've all seen them given, but equally it wasn't a stonewaller. Whereas the chance where Morrison's through and he just has to pass it forward 4 yards, and Kennedy's got not a tap in, but it's a real, real good opportunity to score a winning goal, and he picks the wrong option.
Choosing the chicken.
He did.
Absolutely. I mean, again, the only other kind of chance to write home from what I saw from highlights was Steve McGinn's shot from distance as well. So it seemed we were slightly restricted on our chances, but when you look at the stats here, there was, again, we only had 4 shots on target. We had 10 shots. Nine shots, 4 on target, and we had 9 corners as well. A lot of criticism of Nesbitt's delivery from corners and set pieces at the weekend.
No, definitely. I think they put the highlight in at the one at the very end, where Lowell gets brought down, and the free kick just hits nobody at all. And he goes straight over and blames Carl Donaldson for it. And I thought, well, you've got a cheek based on the delivery.
What was that all about? Because he literally just put it to the one place there was no player.
And I think we know that guys like Carl Donaldson, Liam Henderson have probably got that quality. But I just think that the deliveries into the box are poor, and I can't really quite see what we're aiming to do with it. But it's definitely something we should look to use.
Do you think they would be better suited having someone like Stephen McGinn, or I guess Leon McCann's a good crosser of the ball? Surely these guys from, you know, a dead ball situation for a corner or a free kick are going to be, if Nesbitt's off his game in terms of the delivery, I mean, these guys can do it, you know, so surely it's up to then maybe even Stephen McGinn as captain coming and saying, listen, I've got this, you know what I mean, if he's off his game, because like you're saying, Bryce, we've got threats at set pieces in the likes of Carl Donaldson and the likes of Liam Henderson. You know, why are we not changing it up when we should be, and if Nesbitt's off his game?
I think, again, if you see the highlights, I think Kai Kennedy does go over and tries to say, you know, I'll take this kind of last one. We're using the last one as an example.
Yeah.
The deliveries all the time are pretty poor, but Nesbitt's just brushed them off and said, nah, it's mine. And put the worst ball in the box ever.
Aye.
John gets an awful lot of praise. McGlynn gets an awful lot of praise from us for how we're doing, right? But he's also the person who decides who should be taking corners, who should be taking free kicks. He needs to either make a change or grab these guys and say, right, see next time you can't beat the first man or you hit it long, you're off them. That's what he needs to be doing. So I know it's easy for us to say in hindsight, but like, you're right, Bryce. Why are we continually, and it's not a one-off, like distribution is really, really poor at times from corners and free kicks. And the most, that's down to John and Paul sort of trying to iron that out.
Well, talking of John and Paul, let's hear from John right now.
Well, we got a bad start, you know, within less than 20 seconds of a shot our goal. And that's a bad start. You know, obviously Nicky's made a save, at least a corner kick. Ball's played in, we clear it for another corner kick, and from then you're kind of like setting the tone of how it's going to go, you know. We've obviously got an opportunity to rise and play, but we kind of got hemmed in and made it really difficult for ourselves. We brought it on ourselves, really. We never really got flowing anywhere near to the levels that we have done. That's a bit of credit to Montrose, but we also played into their hands, which doesn't help us. we managed to weather that early storm, and then we got ourselves into the game a little bit. We managed to pass the ball a little bit, and then we make an error, losing the ball in our own half, and we got punished, severely punished. And that's, you know, that's what happens. You know, yet the amount of opportunities we've created in weeks gone by, and no punished teams, you know, and then, you know, we make one mistake and get punished. You know, but that's football. Fortunately enough, though, Craig McGuffey managed to strike an incredible shot, a good pass in by Stephen McGinn, and he's in behind the defence and in behind the midfield, and no one comes out to him, and he just, you know, great striking at the top corner. So it got us back level at half time, an opportunity to kick on second half. But it was a little bit of to and fro, and a little bit of huffing and puffing on both sides, trying to look for a winner, but no really producing enough quality or being incisive enough to actually, you know, get a winner. Stephen McGinn's had a couple of shots from outside the box that the goalkeeper's made a couple of saves from. Nicky's had one save in the second half. But there was opportunities that we could have done better in the final phase of the pitch that we didn't. We've got a claim for a penalty. When you weigh up that decision and the decision late in the game, when Sean Dillon gets a free kick, you know, I believe that the foul on Kai Kennedy that wasn't given was there was greater force in it than there was in the one that Sean Dillon got. So I find that difficult to, you know, to understand why that would be. But it was a day where we never really got flowing at our best, brought on by the way we started the game. And we normally start the game 100 mile an hour on the front foot and playing, you know, great attacking football. Today, for some reason, you know, right for the kickoff, we were slack, and it, you know, it came back to bite us to a certain extent. So disappointing, not to get, well, we didn't really deserve all 3 points, so I can't say, but disappointing the performance that we're better than that. You know, we're better than that. Yeah, when shows are going to make it difficult for you, I understand that, and totally respect that. I don't mean to be disrespectful at all, but we've been playing really well. We've been on in form, and I'm expecting us to come here and play better than that. We are better than that. You know, can you try to give myself the impression, you know, over 36 games in a league campaign, you're not going to be at your best in every game, and we certainly weren't at our best today, but we've come to a difficult place, going away with a point. Know what we came for. But it's what we're going back with, and we just have to now accept it and move on.
I think that's a record even for John McGuinn himself. One question, 3 minutes 36 for the answer. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot in there. You know, not enough quality. We're better than that. Huffing and puffing. A lot of it's ringing true, isn't it, Ross?
Yeah. He hit the nail on the head. He can't put his finger on it. I'm sure he will have now, because John's the kind of guy that he's probably watched that game 3 times between Saturday night and Monday morning. So he's, I've no doubt he'll look at why it's kind of fell apart. I think that'll be the reason there will be changes on Tuesday night, because I think there was some disappointing performances out there on Saturday. We weren't at it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you've heard from us. Let's hear from the rest of yous now. David says the team huffed and puffed without any real bite. We allowed Montrose to bully us. Burrell was absolutely rank. I would have hooked him before halftime if only Wan was available. Credit to Hogarth, who saved us a point. If only Morrison had squared to Kennedy, we would have had the 3. That's from David.
To be fair, I don't disagree with the last sentence. If he had squared it, I think Kennedy would have scored.
Yeah, and like Bryce was saying, if Wan was available as well, I mean, it's ifs, buts and maybes, isn't it?
I know. Well, if Wan's available for Tuesday night, which I think he is, then yeah, hopefully gets some minutes. Max says, what a goal by McGuffey. Referee and linesmen are awful in Scotland. However, let's go again on Tuesday and get the 3 points, Mon the Burns.
Positive, Max. That's what I like to see there. Gabe's played at our own game at the start, starting quickly and couldn't handle it. Should have been 2 down before the goal. How did we lose a goal from our own bounce ball? Criminal. Some goal from Guff, but too many long balls in the second half. Fair result. Could be a big point. I mean, like you say, Ross, if it's what Dunfermline do up there when they go there on Saturday, that'll be the interesting the measure, won't it?
See if Dunfermline go there and lose or get a point, themselves, then it probably is a good point. But just now it feels like it
doesn't feel like it. Yep, you're right.
But he's right. It's you know, we have struggled against Montrose, and I know there's a lot of people saying, "Oh, it's Montrose, we should be beating them," but we haven't. So we've taken a point twice now against a team that we've historically been cuffed against the last couple of seasons. So there is a positive there to an extent. Davey says, terrible first 15 minutes. Lucky to go in even at halftime. Better second half. The ref didn't help, though. Some shocking decisions, but that seems to be normal at this level.
I think, it's Bryce, what have you made of the refereeing in the league? It's just been, for me, it's just been terrible this season. I don't know why.
Yeah, I've got a few mates that are like supporters of other clubs, like Premier League and things like that, and I think they'll complain about referees. I sometimes say, honestly, you'll never believe the standard of the referee until you drop to League One. Because, you know, you get that slightly higher calibre of referee in maybe Championship, Premiership football. But when you drop to League One, the standard overall is just really, really poor. And it's not, I never like to come away and say that the referee decided the result. I try and avoid that at all costs, but the refereeing is just bewildering at times. I'm on the fence with the penalty decision. I think it didn't help Kai Kennedy being so short that it looks worse than it probably is. So I can see why it possibly wasn't given, but the standard referee overall in the league is so poor.
Yeah,
Bryce, I think that's a good shout, Bryce, about the size. I mentioned this either last week or the week before. See when one of the last home games, remember when there was a penalty shout for Yeats, and I think we said on that occasion, if that had been a bigger player, I think we might have got it. But I think the ref's thinking, oh, he's a young lad, he's just getting bounced off the ball, and there is an element of that when you've maybe got a smaller player.
Yeah, there is. Yep. I reckon so. Drew, need to start away games fast. I know since we've started every home game bar Montrose fast, which has led us to winning every home game bar Montrose. Only away games we've won are the ones where we've started slow. Point is an okay result, but need to start better away. I think that's a very valid point.
Yep, no, definitely. Robert says, decent result. Need a target man option, just as we mentioned. Sean Dillon won everything. We didn't create much.
Yeah, Yeats needs to be benched, says Colin. Too lightweight, no pace, never crosses. Mackay was much better. Why was Lowell brought on so late? Mackay, I've seen, and they've got a further comment basically saying Mackay. Keith says Mackay for the 30 minutes that he was on, Brad Mackay was the best player on the park. Also in our group chat, people saying that Brad Mackay should play right back because he played there for Inverness for a while. What are you thinking on this debate? Should Yeats get benched and Brad Mackay come in for the game on Tuesday or Saturday?
Not for
me.
It's a funny one, because like, even when Brad Mackay came on, he wasn't brilliant, right? Let's face it.
Keith said he was the best player in the park for 30 minutes.
If hoofing two balls up the other end of the park makes you the best player in the park, then it must have been a poor game. It's possible an option if it maybe moves Yates back in the middle of the park and gives us that option there. But I don't really see it as the solution moving forwards.
No, so no Brad Mackay at right back. Ross, you in agreement?
Yes, no, I wouldn't drop him for him. Unless Williamson is fit, or we get to January and sign a right back, then I wouldn't be moving Yates right there. Unless,
you might be able to tell, as a fellow PE teacher, Bryce, any news on Williamson?
No, he's never in work either, to be honest. We never hear from
him. Work shy bugger, isn't he?
I know, for God's sake. Graham
Monday,
says
Friday and Saturday.
Graham picks up saying, overly annoyingly disappointed. If you want to get out of the third tier, these are the games you simply have to win. I don't care how, but you must find a way to beat this lot. Airdrie, Edinburgh, Alloa, etc. I'll beat them. Only team that should be capable of giving us a game should be Dunfermline. That's about...
I don't know about that.
I know. I don't know about that. But, I mean, they like you say, they've been a thorn in their side for the last couple of seasons, Montrose. So.
He's not wrong on the basis that we need to be winning more than we don't, because if you don't win more games than you, then you're not going to win the league. So he's right to an extent, but we don't have a divine right to beat everybody bar Dunfermline. If the other teams are just simply turning up and want it more, then they'll get a result. I think we've got the best squad. I do think we've got the best squad, but if you don't play well on the day, then you're not going to get the 3 points. So, which is kind of what happened on Saturday for me. Dylan says, couldn't string two passes together first half. Thought Kennedy added a bit up top, but even though McGuffey scored, he was a passenger the whole game. I don't know what Kennedy and Lowell need to do to start again.
It'll be interesting. I think, like you say, Ross, I think the changes will be, we'll get some changes against Arlo and Kelty as well. So it'll be interesting to see what those are. I think McGuffey could be a hot favourite to drop out. And like you say, Allegria maybe jumps back into the side for Burrow if he's been so poor on Saturday. We shall see. Gary says, keep some beating run going. Fancy to forget previous seasons. Yeah, we weren't great, but picked up a point in a difficult place. Next two games, 6 points are a must. Yeah, I think we're all agreed to that. Grant says, started poorly, then came into the game. I had the better possession, however, didn't create much in front of goal. Missed Allegria coming off the bench, lost their way when Burrow went off. Morrison had to go up top and play with his back to goal, which I think we agree is not great at. You know, if you're saying we're not getting balls in over the top of Sean Dillon, Morrison's not going to be much use to his back to goal, is he?
Yeah, pretty ineffective in that role. Ryan says, missed opportunity, had it in a locker to go up there and do a job and close the gap at the top, however we bottled it.
Aye, it was that Dunfermline goal was a sickener. You know, when you're looking at the results and you're going, oh, geez, it's just, you know, like you say, Ross, it would have been a bigger point if Dunfermline hadn't had that. And we're going to finish off with Mark, who has been on the podcast, is a Montrose supporter and contributed. He said, you were shite in the first half. Equaliser came from nowhere. I think we'll agree with that, actually. Could have been three down at the break with worse luck. Do you agree with that? Could have been three down at the break?
Well, they had opportunities. They did have opportunities. So he's right. We could have been, but then we scored. So
yeah. You should have won it in the second half. Lacked a finishing touch. Montrose the more likely to snatch it late on. You still look rubbish for a full-time team.
Don't agree with him there at all.
He's talking shite. We'll get him back on again. He wasn't here this weekend, but we'll get him on next Montrose game. We'll have him back on. Right, boys. It's probably tough this week to decide this, but we'll go for, first of all, who is your Falkirk Daft rated player? Bryce, have you got someone that you would pick out of the bunch?
I just feel like I got the same guys every week, but I'm going to go just call Donaldson. I feel like maybe just not based on the weekend, but just for a number of weeks now, when we first signed him, I thought, oh no, here we go. A big diddy, but to be honest, he's been brilliant. And I really, really rate him, so I'm going to go Cole Donaldson.
Cole Donaldson. Ross?
It's two for Cole. Yeah, very, very strong. Just now, not just the weekend, but in general, he marshals the defence really, really well. And Liam Henderson beside him, doing fab, the pair of them. So, no, easy one for Saturday. I'm going to go Cole as well.
Yeah. All right, no worries. And your Falkirk Dafty boys, who's going to be the Falkirk Dafty? Bryce?
Difficult to pick. Maybe whoever left us with so much muck last season that meant we couldn't get more options in. But for probably being quite ineffective for choosing chicken, I'll go Cal Morrison.
Right, okay, and Ross.
It's a double for Callum because that chance at the end for me was just typified his day, to be honest.
Yeah.
He just chose the wrong option again.
Yeah. Oh, well. Hopefully he's back to picking the steak against Arlo and Kelty. We'll wait and find out. Bryce, thanks so much for coming on. Really, really appreciate, obviously, to meet a viral sensation like yourself. bit yep. Like, you know, Charlie bit my finger, the Falkirk version of it. So it's been a pleasure to have you on the podcast.
Yeah. Cheers for having me on, guys. Much appreciated.
Brilliant. Alice, if you want to be like Bryce, be a guest pundit on the podcast, we'd love to have you on. Just drop us a DM on our socials, Falkirk Daft on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, or you can email us at falkirkdaftpod@gmail.com.
This is Falkirk Daft.
We've continued this question. The big question this week is the funniest chant you've heard at a Falkirk match. We got through a few last week, but they kept coming in, Ross, so we thought it's only fair to continue with them. So what is the funniest chant you've heard at a Falkirk match? Colin says, when Gaveston played for Celtic, was a chant of Barcelona, Real Madrid, who the fuck are you trying to kid? Special mention also goes to U5 cunt at Sammy the Tammy as he went past the East End Park. It's absolutely brutal.
See, to be fair, he deserves it, Sammy the Tammy.
He does, he does. A wee shite.
Everyone will know Big Monroe. He got in touch with us. He says this one was made up by the bard that is Big Will Lang to the tune of D-I-S-C-O by Ottawa and One midweek away trip at Dingwall. I think D-U-F-F-Y, Daryl Duffy. Daryl Duffy. He is D, Dynamite. He is U, Unbelievable. He is F, fucking magic. He is F, fucking magic. He is Y, Duffy.
D-U-F-F-Y. That's better. Why did that not catch on? That's an absolute better, Willie.
Absolute class.
Absolutely. That is brilliant. I love that. Steven says, always seems to get sung at Inverness away to the Postman Pat theme. This is... Paddy Craig's gonna break your leg. He is fucking mental. He's not very gentle. Paddy Craig is gonna break your leg.
It was. And I think, when Stephen tweeted that, he tagged Padge in, and Padge said that was brilliant. So fair play to him for
Paddy Craig. I loved Paddy Craig. Absolutely loved Paddy Craig as a footballer. I think he's a coach now in Ireland somewhere.
Good. Yep. No, I've obviously not heard too much of him since he left Scottish football, but remember Stephen O'Donnell, who was with us? Is he not a manager over in Ireland or something?
Yeah, I think he is, but I've just looked up Paddy's Wikipedia there. It's St Patrick's Athletic. He's the assistant there. And Stephen O'Donnell, I'm sure, I guess, obviously him and Paddy came from the Arsenal Academy, didn't they?
Yep.
Both of them. And I'm sure, yeah, I think you're right. I'm doing a quick Google on Stephen O'Donnell and we'll find out who Stephen O'Donnell...
There. I think that's what I heard anyway.
Yeah, I can't... The other Stephen O'Donnell's come up for a while, so we'll find out that.
Alan's tweeted us. He says, one he heard last year at East Fife made him laugh. It went to the tune of Live Aid, Feed the World. It was Feed the Fifers, Do the Noise.
Classic.
That one's been a fun favourite at Fife Grounds over the last sort of 20, 30 years.
Definitely. Yeah, and another classic is from Kenny's Mission, the old Christmas time mistletoe and wine. We all agree, Jim Wishman. Christmas time mistletoe and wine. We all agree, Jim Wishman's a wank.
Oh no, that one's a belter. So Kenny's. I don't know if he's purposely left a few out there, but it's Christmas time lager and wine. Volker Bairns are
doing just fine.
Five past the Morton, three past Clyde Bank.
Yes, that is it. Obviously, Twitter didn't allow him that amount of characters. That's why he's went for the shortened version.
Probably not. So that's a classic one.
Yeah.
G Pro says 8-0 down to Celtic at Celtic Park. I remember that one. We score a goal and start chanting. So fucking easy.
I remember that.
Easy thing as well.
People were doing congas. I remember Andy Thompson, who was the one that scored the goal at Celtic Park as well, celebrated like he had just scored the winning goal in the Scottish Cup final.
The fight back was on.
It was brilliant. Absolutely love it. David said Elliot's were in hospitality at the end of the season 2012-2013 when Holt had just taken over. Particularly cold and quiet day. They'd been chatting Gary years away. But as the temperature dropped, a certain bus convener changed the chant to Gary, kiss your cheek. It even Holt was laughing.
That must have been Brian Stewart.
Must have been Brian, yeah.
The only wave Gary Holt deserves is just that now, isn't it? So, hopefully he's long gone. Matthew says, has to be the Bairns are having a party because the Pars are going bust.
Remember
that getting sang after? Remember we beat them in the semi final at Hampden? Back in Falkirk, that was the chant. Obviously, not going bust at that point. It was the Pars are in their bed. Obviously into that one, but yeah, definitely. Falkirk, COIB, said Bertie B to Bill Shankly, have you heard of the North Bank Highbury? Shank says, no, I don't think so, but I've heard of the famous Bravo.
Old school chanting that one. Love it. Pete says, in the first half, we were fucking shite, then we brought on Miles Hippolyte. What a feeling, what a night. What a classic that is.
That was after the Rangers game, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Absolutely brilliant. And the first, a brilliant chant.
It was class.
As often these guys who come up with this stuff, by the way. Have you ever started? Here's a question for you. Have you ever started? Well, you try as you may, Ross, to start chants, but generally you're on your own. But have you ever come up with a song or a chant that's kind of got going?
Well, what you're talking about this season? No, because
no, just in general over the years.
No, I've started playing the chants in the South Stand because that's where the noise comes from. But I can't think of one particular that I've created on my own.
Right. But apart from several Posh Spice songs.
Oh, yeah, well, the Posh Spice ones, I suppose. But no, the South Stand, it is easier to get a bit of a song going there because I don't want to say the fans are more up for it because I don't think you can always say that. But I think that there's certainly...
There's a younger element in the South Stand, obviously.
There's a younger element as well, aye. So, yeah, definitely. Bairn Identity gets in touch to say he heard a guy during a match down at Somerset Park back in the early 90s. Scream over the segregation fence. I'd rather have carbon dioxide than air. Not a chant, but I thought it was quality banter.
I think this is where we should pick up for next week. I think the best bit of banter you've heard at a Falkirk game, I think, is definitely a way we could go. Because this is since 1876 comes in with something similar. He says, think the chants are now covered, but there are many individual shouts from the crowds towards both Falkirk and opposition players' management. One of my favourites was directed to Frank Connor at Raith Rovers. Says, some cunt throw him a fish. He's barking like a seal. So...
Random shouts, that's a good one.
I think the best shout or best bit of banter you've heard at a Falkirk game, we'll run that maybe next week or the week after, because I think there's a lot of mileage and a lot of legs in this. So, I mean, if you've been in the Brockville in the choir or you've been in the main stand at Brockville, it's just, you know that point when it goes quiet in a game and someone shouts something and everybody hears it and laughs at it? I think that's the kind of chat we're looking at for the next couple of weeks.
So, I remember vividly being at Brockville when it was one of the TV games and you had... Do you remember Jerry McNee?
Yes.
He was there with whoever was his co-commentator. It wasn't Jim White, obviously. But it was after the game. And as you know, the choir all had to sort of sneak past the back.
The TV gantry, yeah.
And I remember shouting, Jim Shags Jerry. And I was like 12 or something like that, right? And the next day, Jerry's on Scott Sports saying that the atmosphere at Brockville is toxic and the Falkirk fans are brought up in diseased meat. Do you not remember he made this massive thing about how the Falkirk fans were shocked? And I'm like, I made them say that.
Because you said that Jim White pumped them. Right, okay, let's open that up for next week. And best bit of banter, best chat shouts you've heard at Brockville or the stadium. We'd love to hear from you on that.
This is Falkirk Daft.
Every week in Falkirk Daft, we look ahead to the games we've got. Two games coming up. So we thought we'd just focus on what's ahead of us, Ross. And from the Wasp's Nest podcast, please welcome Kieran. How you doing, mate?
Yeah, I'm doing well, boys. Thanks for having me on.
Good to have you back. One of your representatives coming on from the Wasp's Nest. Going well at the moment, sir?
Yeah, it's going good. Fresh off the back of a 2-0 victory against Airdrie, which is always pleasing. So, it's night and day from last season. So, it's quite happy days at Alloa just now.
Yeah, 3 wins in the last 5. Are you up to 5th in the table? In fact, if you beat us tomorrow on Tuesday, you'll go 3rd.
You've just jinxed it now. I've refused to mention that on my own podcast. So, you've stuck me in it now, but... No, it's going good. Brian Rice he's definitely steadied the ship. He's brought in a lot of experienced players, a lot of young ones in as well. And he's just like such a better mood and atmosphere around the club. And I think you can see that in the way that we play now. The players want to be there. Everyone's enjoying themselves. And it's reflected in the table. It's not been perfect, don't get me wrong, but it's certainly been a big improvement on last year for sure.
Yeah, what has been the difference? Who's really been making the difference? I've noticed that obviously Connor Salmon's popped up with 8 goals this season so far. Rodden's got 6. And Ross McIver seems to be a bit of a player for you. 3 goals and then 3 assists for you, Kieran.
Yeah, that's the thing that we spoke about in the summer. We were wondering, where are the goals going to be coming from? Because Samuel's never, well, you guys will know that he's not one that's going to find the back in it too much, but he's pushing double figures already this season. He looks a new man, which is great to see. Brad Rodden as well, bit of a wild card signing from Rossvale off the exit trials. He's on 6 goals. He's just like this ball of enthusiasm, fast, runs it, the game to the ground, and Ross as well has been linking it up. I think we've got so many options now, which is good. Brian Rice has got quite a big squad. We saw that on Saturday when we played against Airdrie. We had a full bench of experienced pros. Airdrie had about 2 or 3 players on the bench, and I think that's, you know, been the difference in the opening quarter. We've been able to freshen it up when need be, and we've got goals and quality all over the park. So hopefully it bodes well. It's a tougher league this year for sure, but we're in a decent place.
Yeah, and I mean, looking at that our team, has it been a big difference in style of play under Rice, Kieran?
I would say so. I mean, was there a style of play under Ferguson? Debatable. I don't really know what we'd call some of the tactics last season, but Brian Rice, he's quite positive. So a lot of the time we describe it as just chaos ball. There was one game that we had 7 strikers on at one point and we were 4-2 up, and it was just absolutely bonkers. But he's not afraid. I mean, he's a well-known manager around the block. Hamilton fans will tell this as well. He's not afraid to make pretty drastic and eye-catching changes. So we swap from a 5 at the back to a 4 at the back, 3 at the back. You know, we could have about 4 formations in one game. It's quite hard. I do the commentary for Alloa TV and it's absolutely, you know, impossible to predict it and to keep on tabs with it. But we're quite a flexible team in that nature, and I think that helps us, to be honest.
Rice is a football guy as well, isn't he, Kieran? So he's obviously got a good kind of football brain on him. We saw that as a player, firstly, when he was at Falkirk. Like, what a left foot the guy had in the 90s, and he was just phenomenal. And then, obviously, he was assistant to Yogi at Falkirk for loads of years. And I don't want to say he was the brains out of the two of them, but he probably was the brains out of the two of them. So I can imagine he's got like a good bit of knowledge in his locker. So he's a good guy to have in the club, isn't he?
Oh, quite right. He's got a wealth of experience. The guys that he knows and speaks to, and the way that he plays his football is great. And he's just like, he's a very likeable man as well. Like, the players really have taken to him, and they really get on with him. And he champions them as well. He defends his players. He encourages them, and it's good to see. He's been such a breath of fresh air, I think, for Alloa, and definitely what we needed.
Yeah. I have a random story for you, Kieran. See, about 15 years ago, I used to work with his ex-wife at RBA. Okay. And at the time, he was Falkirk assistant manager. He seemed to obviously still spend a bit of time with her. They've got kids and stuff. However, she would randomly come in and say, well, here's one of Chipper's jumpers. Here's one of Chipper's coats. And I'm like, are you just stealing all his stuff from Falkirk to give to me? But she's like, yes, essentially, yes. I have like 5 or 6 of his coaching stuff. He probably was wondering where it was going.
I'll let him know that you've got half his wardrobe next time I see him tomorrow.
Brilliant, brilliant. Obviously, I don't know how often this happens. It doesn't happen very often, but 2 brothers, I'm going to see this the first time ever this has happened in Scottish football. The 2 brothers are in opposing goals. I don't think this will have happened before. We've got Jay Hogarth playing for Alloa in one set of sticks, Nicky at the other end. Hogarth Derby, it has been labelled now. How's Jay been for you? Because Nicky, I think, certainly been pretty good for Falkirk.
It's mental. I don't know if you know that his dad also played for both.
Yeah, Miles obviously played for both as well.
Yeah, so it's just it's a very strange story. But no, we've been I've been really happy with Jay. I read something last week to say that, I think it was the Dunfermline game the week before last, that he was the youngest goalkeeper across the 4 divisions that started that weekend. So Jay's only 18, 19, but the maturity on him is, you know, quite outstanding, to be fair. He's got a mistake in him. I think you can see sometimes positionally. He's been caught out a couple of times this year, but on the whole, he's been very impressive. I think one of the main things that we pick up on and we talk about is how quickly he distributes the ball and how pinpoint it is. Like the counter attacks that Alloa get all come through Jay. He's not, I don't think he's got an assist yet this season, but it's definitely coming because he plucks it out the air and he zings it, you know, 60, 70 yards. I think that's a sign of, you know, modern day goalkeepers that are coached in these elite academies, and you can see that he's been, he's part of that mould. But no, I've been happy with him, and I think with his age, you kind of have to account for the odd mistake positionally or whatever, but he's been impressive. So it's going to be interesting. This is the second time Brad Rodden, his brother, plays for Clyde. So they had a bit of handbags at one of the tackles when we played Clyde. I don't think Jay and Nicky will have that opportunity, but it's nice to see another battle. Well,
I'd love for Falkirk, or indeed Alloa, I suppose, for somebody to get a penalty and they let the brother take it.
Maybe when we're 5-0 up, Ross. Maybe when we're 5-0 up.
I guess, guys, this is the other thing. We're going to find out who the dad has. Who's the favourite son? Like, is he going to go in the Alloa end? Is he going to go in the Falkirk end?
Aye, he'll stick himself right in hospitality, won't he?
Aye, true. Or the mum will go in one end, Miles will go in the other end. We'll wait and see what happens. What do you think the score's going to be, Kieran?
To be honest, I would love to come on your podcast and wind you up and tell you that we're going to beat you, but there's just something about playing Falkirk on a Tuesday night. I think it's always hard, you know, not to get the wee violin out, but when the part-time teams go away from home against a bigger full-time team in a midweek, the odds are stacked against you. I would take a point, but I have memories of I think it was Lee Griffiths' debut, and you came to the Rex last year on a Tuesday night and was confident going into that one, and you battered us off the park. So
we won in here, and that game could have been a hell of a lot different, because I remember at halftime, I think it was still 0-0 at halftime.
Yeah.
You could have been 4-0 down.
Like, I can't remember who was your goalkeeper that night, but he put you in quite a few. I think it was Rob, the boy that's at Edinburgh just now.
Robbie much.
Yeah.
So, no, you're right. It could have gone different. And no, to be fair, we had a decent record at Falkirk last season. You know, we got a draw and we beat yous near the end of the season as well. So it's not all doom and gloom. I think it'll be tight. I'd hope for 1-1, but I can see us. I think we'll be doing well to get a point out of it.
Yeah. Are you going to make it along yourself, Kieran?
Yeah, looking forward to it. I said in my own podcast when I did the prediction, that's the last bit of negativity. As soon as it hits tomorrow, I'll be happy clappy looking for a victory, because it would be big for us. But I'm looking forward to it.
Well, certainly if you went third in the league and got your above us, that would be huge for our. Well, listen, Kieran, thanks so much for coming on. Falkirk Daft, really appreciate that. And obviously, best of luck with the game. But we always say best of luck, but we don't really
mean it.
We don't mean it. And thanks for coming on. It's Kieran from the Wasp Nest.
Oh, cheers.
Alloa, Ross, I forgot to ask, what do you think the score's going to be tomorrow night?
Has to be a win.
It needs to be 3 points. We need to come out of the traps. My worry is always Connor Salmon and scoring against, but any ex-player that comes back to us, almost my worry is them scoring against us. And Connor Salmon, there's a point to prove. Obviously last season he did it.
I do think we might concede. I don't know if it'll be Salmon, but I do think we'll concede, but I do think we'll score a few goals. I think there'll be a reaction Saturday.
The boy McIver looks like a right good player for them, I have to say. That's some goal he scored there at the weekend. I had a look at that. Falkirk 4-5 for the win, 13-5 the draw, and Alloa out at 14-5. We'll see how it goes down tomorrow. And of course, we'll be going to the behind the goals beforehand. So I'm looking forward to a couple of pints before the match. That should be good. Other things to look forward to are, of course, Kelty on Saturday again at the stadium. Great to have two games back to back in the stadium.
Yeah, no, we've got a superb home form. It's not to say the away form's horrific, but it's not as strong as a home form. So I think if we are going to win the league or be in amongst it, we do need to kind of keep this home form going. So, yep 6 points is the task the next 4 or 5 days. I think we're good enough to get it. We need to play as we know how we can play. I think we'll score a few goals this week as well. It might come back to bite me in the arse, but I think we could. I think we could see 3 or 4 goals each game this week.
And you reckon Allegri maybe comes in and potentially Kai Kennedy as well. Would you? Is that two changes you would make then, Ross? Aye? McGuffey out, Burrow out, those two?
Yeah, I would. I think that'll be the changes tomorrow night. I don't know if that'll be for Saturday, but I suppose it'll depend on how tomorrow night goes. I just can't see him sticking with the same. And unless he thinks, right, here's my bollocking, I'm going to send the same team out again. But then if he does that, he keeps saying about how the winning team picks itself. Well, we didn't play well on Saturday. Yeah. And there was individual issues on Saturday. So if he's going to make a change, I think he has to make it.
Yeah. Looking at Kelty, I mean, they're in eighth in the league, but obviously got a win against us. They picked up back-to-back wins in their last two games as well, beating Clyde there at the weekend there. This boy, Agumon, who they picked up... Nathan Austin's still not fit for them, but Agumon seems to be a player for them. Three goals for him already this season. I don't know much about him, but I have seen him picking up goals, and having looked at the Kelty social media, he seems to be a player in form.
Yeah, I wanted to keep an eye on him. As always, the defence needs to be really, really tight. We obviously had an issue on Saturday with it's kind of slack ball. It didn't come from a defender, to be honest. But the defence has been pretty solid, especially at home. I think we'll carry that forward. I think we'll be all over them. I think Joe Cardo, I know I say this every time we come up against it, this boy with a proper chip in his shoulder about Falkirk, and he'll be trying like an absolute bear.
So Higginbottom, we know Higginbottom will be doing them.
So we really, really need to be all over these boys. Their home form is far, far better than their away form. In fact, I don't think they've even picked up a point.
No.
So long may that continue with a big Burns win on Saturday.
Absolutely. What do you think score will be there?
We might concede, but I can see us scoring a few goals on Saturday. I'm going to go 3-1 Burns, and that's my prediction for Tuesday and for Saturday.
Tuesday and Saturday, 6 goals on the scoreboard for us then, hopefully. Fingers crossed, I'm going to go for 3-0 tomorrow night against Alloa, and I will say, I think I'll back you as well, 3-1 on Saturday as well. So
Happy days if
6 points, like you say though, 6 points is an absolute must. If we drop any points and Dunfermline, gain further on us, it's not even thinkable. So, yeah. Let's go for that. 6 points in the next two games.
This is Falkirk Daft.
That's it for this week's Falkirk Daft. Thank you very much to Bryce for being our guest pundit. Thanks very much to Kieran coming on from the Wasp Nest podcast. Fingers crossed we can get 3 points against that lot on Tuesday night. Or if you're listening past that, hopefully we've got the 3 points now in the bag and we're looking towards Kelty.
Indeed. Absolutely. Oh, it's a big week, John. It is. There's a lot happening this month. There's obviously loads of games coming up early next month. We've got Dunfermline coming to town as well, so it's all shaping up there. Another shout out for our competition that we're obviously helping the club and the supporter society out with. So if you join the supporter society, or you're already a member, we'll be doing a draw on our podcast on Monday the 31st of October. The club have kindly donated to the Supporter Society 2 Boardroom hospitality places. We've donated a full bucket of beer for someone to win in the Brockville Bar before or after a game sometime. And it's a big bucket, by the way. It arrived the other day there. It's a pretty big bucket, so enjoy. And then the last but not least, the guys at the Supporter Society have let me know that there's going to be a one-off third prize coming up. And it's Glasgow and Edinburgh bus tours, and it's not one of these open top things. It's quite classy. It's maybe not for everyone, but it's afternoon tea for two on a vintage Routemaster.
I know, I've seen that going about Glasgow and Edinburgh. Yeah.
So it's been donated by our friends at Red Bus Bistro. Really, really nice of them to do that. It's worth about £85 for two people. So brilliant. So that's going to be a third prize as well. Maybe it's better than our beer bucket. I don't know. However, it's definitely available. So the message from the guys at FSS is, if you can do so, if you can join the FSS, please do so. They're going to be leafleting at the Alloa and the Kelty games this week. I think they've had a few volunteers. However, they're always looking for more. So if anyone can, drop the guys a message on social media. But yeah, so that draw will take place in a couple of weeks' time. And you need to be in it to win it.
Absolutely. So sign up to the FSS now, and you'll get their Twitter handle, FalkirkFCSS. That's them on Twitter. You can get all the details there, or they're online. If you just type in Falkirk Support Society into Google, everything you'll need will pop up. And like Ross says, if you can get signed up before Halloween, you can be in the draw to win these fantastic prizes, hospitality, a beer bucket, all that fantastic trip for high tea around Edinburgh or Glasgow. So it's the Big Red Bus Company. So thanks very much for that. That's it for this week's Falkirk Daft. You can get us on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Get on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Falkirk Daft, Falkirk Daft Pod. You can get us on Gmail, falkirkdaftpod@gmail.com. If you want to drop us a line as well. And we're on YouTube as well. So subscribe, like and subscribe, like and subscribe. Hi guys, like and subscribe, comments below. Do all that, please. We'd love you to do that. Or join the Discord channel, moan at us, chat to us during the week. The links are below as well. Right, Roscoe, 6 points is required.
That's all we want, that's all we ask.
That's all. Well, blip. We're going to have these blips, like Montrose. We're going to drop points. It's always a hard place to go. We acknowledge that. We've dropped points off there. We're hoping for a win. We've come away with a point. Season's gone by. That might not happen. So I'm still looking at the positives of that. But for me, two home games, Aloha, Kelty. These are teams at home that we should be beating. So 6 points for me is an absolute must. And I'm looking forward to a game under the floodlights. Always like a wee midweek game under the floodlights in Specialty Stadium. So fingers crossed for the next two games. And hopefully we'll be talking to you on next week's podcast with big smiles on our faces. So there we are. Right, thanks for us at Falkirk Daft. And until next time, Ross, Wayne.
Expect the unexpected, everybody.